Hey guys, I'm Rick. I'm an alcoholic. Been an alcoholic all my life. So, all right, let me tell you a couple things first. I'm a guy from Jersey, so I'm going to talk with my hands, okay? That's what we do in Jersey. And I like to walk, okay? I don't really like to stand behind a lectern because I had a career job and all I did was speak. And this is not my career job. This is my love job. And so, okay? So I'm not here to tell anybody what to do. I'm just going to tell you how I did it. I'm going to share my experience straight and hope with you. I'm going to hopefully make you laugh along the way. But everything I tell you is going to be the truth, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because, you know, getting to this place tonight, there was a lot of ugly. But you know what? There's a lot of good. There really is. And I'm living my best life. I have to tell you something. I've never had a better life in my entire life. On March 19, 2014, I entered the program of recovery for the, really, let's call it the first time. Because I tried so many times down the road, I just couldn't get it. Why? Because I didn't get it. Because I never did step one. I never admitted I was powerless over alcohol and my life had become unmanageable. So let me tell you something. My life was pretty unmanageable. I had a very large job in a casino, working for a very, very big operator, and I was stealing from him. I wasn't stealing anything financially. Yeah, it is called financially. I stole time from this company, and that's time that I can never give back. I stole time from my children. We'll talk about that later. But on March 18th, I was at my worst place in my entire life. My life was in that toilet bowl, and it was flushed. And I was just waiting to fit the girdle, and I would have been gone. I would have been buried at sea, you know, like we did with our goldfish when they died as kids, you know. And I had exhausted all my medical. So what that means is that I had no more medical left. Zero. And I had to do something real fast. I was married at the time. I was already kicked out of the bedroom. I couldn't hold any money because I couldn't trust me with money, you know. And in fact, you couldn't trust me with anything. You know, the only time somebody took my call if they wanted something from the casino, you know. And that was just no life. And I had to do something because if I didn't do it, I was done. I was going to go to jail, you know. I was falling asleep at stop signs. I was waking up in places that I never woke up before in my entire life, you know. And, you know, I woke up in beds full of urine. You know, I just wasn't living a life. But at the time, I thought it was my life because that's all I knew. It's all I knew, you know. And, but I found out there's a lot more to life. And we'll talk about that, too. But, so, I went to rehabs for everybody and their brother. I mean, and I think if you had a dog, I probably told you I went to the rehab so the dog would like me again. You know? The first rehab I went to, I'll tell you something, we had a helicopter port. When I went to my casino operator, they go, "Oh, we're going to take care of you." Well, my God, I lasted only 7 days. I mean, I had a chef. I mean, come on, you know? I mean, I'm a drug addict. I'm an alcoholic. Hell, I'll eat off the floor if I have to, if I can eat. You know what? If I could eat, a lot of times I didn't eat. Because, first of all, I didn't have any money. And second of all, I just didn't want to eat. But I was making $1.50, spending $1.75, you know. I owed everybody and the brother. High on the mortgage. I was a good sneak, man. I didn't pay the mortgage, no car insurance. This poor girl I was married to, she didn't know anything. You know, didn't know anything. And so I picked up that famous 800 number, you know, like 1-800-REHAB, you know. And the guy goes, "Hey, man, I can't get you." He says, "You don't have any money left." He said, "But if you have $30,000, I get you in a rehab." I said, "Buddy, I got 30 cents, man." I said, "I'm done, man. I am literally done." And I got on my knees. And I asked God to take it over. I said, you know, my problem is, I'm going to walk a little bit over here. My problem is that Stevie Wonder was driving the bus. That was my problem. Okay?
I had to get Stevie Wonder out of the driver's seat. Okay? And I had to let God pick her. And I say God because in the big book it talks about God in the first 167, I think it's 180 times or like that. And the total book is way over 250. So, you know, this is a spiritual thing, but let me tell you, this is a God thing. You know, it really is. Because Bill Larson would have never put the word God in there if it wasn't a God thing. You know, and he was a man of faith. And I know he was. So I got on my knees and I said, listen, man, I need help. I do. I need help. About 2 o'clock that afternoon, the phone rang. The guy called me up and said, I got your boy. He said, can you leave today? I said, yeah. So I went to Delray Beach, Florida. And I'm embarrassed to tell you, I had a little party before I left. And I had a little party on the plane, too. And I even had a little party view when I got off the plane at the bar. But the guy waited for me. And I say, he had a sign on my face. And the guy looked at me and says, I can't take you. He says, you're stoned. You're drunk. I know. I'm here to go to rehab. Okay? He said, but I can't take you, man. He said, I just can't do it. I said, you got to. I'll do anything. And that was the first time I realized that I would do anything. You know, a man asked me one day, how far will you go for with your recovery? And I thought about that. Then he asked me, how far you go for a drink or a drug? You know, the old saying, uphill, barefooted, fire, spitting gasoline. You know? I mean, you know, I'll drive a damn lawnmower if I don't have a driver's license to the liquor store if I have to. With snow tires. You know? I don't care. I did it. You know? And so he took me. And I had to wait a little bit. So we had to go kill some time. This guy had to protect himself, too. And so I started hitting this thing called detox. And detox more, because there's nothing to help me with the detox. Because there was no stopping on the way there to get something. And so I went inside this rehab in Delray Beach, Florida called Transformations. And I walked in this room. By that time, I was crying. I was throwing up. Other things were happening in my life. And I was a wreck. I was nervous. I was shaking. You thought I had Parkinson's disease. I was shaking so much. You know, I was just, I was done. I was spent. And so, you know, they all say, I'm sure we've all been in rehabs. You know, you gotta let them look through your clothes and stuff, you know. And well, I didn't have anything in my clothes. I took it. Okay? So I had nothing to bring. I thought I was going to bring something, but it didn't last. You know, one of those little stories, I'll make sure something lasts. You know, I'll make sure I'll just, because I know the liquor store is not open until 7 o'clock, can't get a beer. So, you know what? I got 4 beers. I'll just have one now. Well, I think I got one nothing. You know? So, but I never forget this. As long as I live here today, and I'm going to tell you the story, and I'll probably choke up. The nurse grabbed my hand, and she told me I was safe. I'll never forget that as long as I live. Because I never felt safe. I never felt that I could do this. I never felt a place that, you know, we don't want your $30,000. We just want you to get sober. You know, I never felt that. So I entered the program of detox, you know, to make you happy. You know, and then they start taking the happy stuff away. And you got to start, like, you know, paying attention. And so I met a guy. I wish I would have brought it tonight. And I usually do. His name was Grateful Glenn. He had hair down to here. He had a Harley. So the only reason I knew he had a Harley because, you know, he started it up when he left. It was very loud. And I'm talking to this guy. He's from a program called H&I, Hospital and Institutions. I learned a lot of different things going through my rehab, and I'll tell you about that. And he talked about his experience, Strength and Hope. And he told my story. You know that? He told my story. I said, how does this guy don't even know me? He knows my story. But he knew everybody's story. Mm-hmm. And
So afterwards, and I hope somebody comes up to me when I stop, you ask me some questions, because that's how I learned. And first of all, I'm not going to assume anybody out, but you know, if you're a newcomer, you're at the right place. I promise you that. I give you my honest word. Okay? All right? You're at the right place. I promise you. This is the place to be, and it's free. You don't have anybody trying to get $30,000 out of you. It's free. Okay? So, we talked, and he went over the first step with me. And I admitted I was powerless over alcohol. My life got become unmanageable because I couldn't manage anything. So I progressed in the program, and I got to go called the Free World. I didn't, like, go outside, but I got to enter the program after the word detox. And I started going to meetings. And listen, now I'm with the lottery heads, but I'll be honest with you, I could give a shit. I didn't pay attention to nothing. I was more worried about, are we going to stop afterwards? So we can get a burger or something, you know, making sure everybody's good and we can stop, maybe go to Five Guys or go through McDonald's, you know, get a burger or something. And but let me tell you what Glenn gave me. Glenn gave me his keychain. He was from NA. That fucking guy had a ring of keys right there. And he took it off. He gave me his keychain. And I still have it today. And I look at it a lot because in the big book, it talks about don't regret the past or don't dwell on it. I never, ever want to forget March 18, 2014, and I'm thankful for March 19, 2014, because that's the day I was born. You know, I became a free man from drugs and alcohol, you know. But let me tell you something. In recovery, I'm going to be honest with you, and don't anybody ever tell you anything different. There's pain. There's pain. There is freaking pain. You know, I 12 years, and I had days with pain. Don't get me wrong. But when I have the pain, what do I do? I make that decision. Somebody once asked me one day, what's the best thing you got out of this program? I said, the ability to make a decision. That's what I can do today. I can go ahead. So, let me start. So, I go, and I go to these meetings, and you see somebody, they'll get 20 years, you know, get 10 years, get 1 year. Everybody's going up there hugging them. I'm finding the guy that got 30 days. I'm going to the guy that got that red chip. And I'm like, dude, how did you do it? I got 5 days and I'm ready to get on the bus. Okay? You know, I'm ready. I'm ready to tell my wife a lie that I graduated, sent me an airline ticket. I want to go home. Okay? How do you do it? And everybody told me the same thing. And I mean what I'm going to tell you. One day at a time. But he also said this 5 minutes at a time. A lot of 5 minutes at a time, you know? And so I come for, I call bingo day. So somebody said, why do you call it bingo day? Because that's the day I woke up and I went home. That's the day I woke up and there was nobody to tell me when to get up, when to go to the bathroom, when to shave, when to eat, when to read, when to do my homework. Nobody would say, hey, did you read the book today? What did you read in the book? Here, write this down. I didn't have to do that. So my recovery started that day. You know, the outside recovery. And I remember before I left, a guy came up here and he said, listen, this is where the meeting's at. So I got on the plane. My wife met me at the airport. And I got my car and I drove to this meeting. And it was called the trailer. It's called the Tricky Trailer. Well, let me tell you right now, one match, and we all would have been on CNN. Okay? All of us. All of us. It was like, and they smoked. Oh, my God. You think you smoke in the casino? You should sit in a room with 50 drunks and alcoholics smoking. Holy shit. And they wouldn't hit the ashtray. And I'll tell you about that, too. So, I walk in the door, and I was like the deer in the headlight. And the guy looked at me, and his name was Todd Ellis. And I'm telling you his last name because the guy told everybody his last name. He said, it's your first time here. And I said, come sit next to me. And I did. I kept next to me. And you know what he said to me? Come back tomorrow. So I did. So now I get to go back to work, you know. And so I go to a meeting one day. Nancy. In Georgia, Georgia Montana suit on. Now I'm looking good. I walk in there, And they looked at me and they said, "Can I help you?" I said, "I'm here for a meeting." He said, "Are you a cop?" I said, "No, my name is Rick." He said, took me outside, said, "Go change. You look like a cop. People are going to leave. My God, don't ever do this again. Go take your jacket off, take your tie off, find a shirt, come back there." You got to remember, all these people here probably, you know, are here under the an alias or something, you know, like Marshall people looking for them, you know? You look like some guy from Memphis Police Department ready to take everybody to jail. So I went to the car, did what I was told. So then I get to say, I found a new word, sponsor. Well, I found out real quick. He did 12 years in jail, flat. So that means he wasn't paroled for 12 years. He smoked like a chimney. And he told me that I was going to be my sponsor. I said, "Okay, no problem." No problem at all. So, of course, we went through the steps. And I never counted well when I was a out of the addiction, 1, 5, 9, 10, 7, 3. I learned to do everything in a row. I started with step one. And when I graduated step one, I went to step two. On four. I couldn't skip. I couldn't go to the end of the book, like you're in college and you get a thing called script notes and you like read that like a day before you had your final exam and you gotta write a paper and you're like, "Oh shit, I'm just turning the page." Yeah, she died. So I do this, and he said, "You smoke?" I said, "I don't smoke." He said, "That's good, because you're going to wash ashtrays." So I'm going to do what? He said, "Yeah." He said, "You have that really fancy job. You're in charge of everybody, but guess what, buddy? You can't even be in charge of yourself, and you're not in charge of this room, okay? And don't forget that." So you know what I did? I washed ashtrays. I was lucky because one of his other sponsees had to go to Walmart on Saturday afternoon to get carts. He did. Made the guy go to the Memphis Walmart, the Walmart Center, that's the big shit one, you know, and go grab carts and put them away because he had to humble himself. You know that? And that's what he told me. And I did. So, you know, and then... So let me tell you this. So I get home from rehab, and I'm thinking I'm going back in the bedroom, you know. My life is going to be great, you know. No. Guest room. Went to the guest room. And she said, "This is how we're going to do it. You're going to get paid. The money's going to go in my account, and I'm going to give you a debit card for your money. And when your money's gone, it's gone. So if you need to buy gas, or you want to do this, that's what you got to do." And I said, "Yes, ma'am." Because I had the final word on my relationship. Yes, dear. I did it. I did it. Because I loved her. And by the way, this young lady is my friend, so she's not my wife. So she's going to get a t-shirt that says, I'm not his husband. And so she knows my story. So I'm not saying anything in her that... You know, so I did, because I had to do it. I needed to do it, and it was a program of recovery. I learned a word called honesty. Ooh, it's a big word, you know. Shit, I lied to myself multiple times, you know, and so it started to work. And then somebody asked me, "Can you help me?" You talking to me? Help you? Dude, I only got a few months. And I did. First, I went and asked my sponsor. I said, "Is it okay if I..." "Yeah, no problem." But I did. Men started calling me. My phone started to ring. And people didn't want anything from me. People weren't trying to get a free room. People weren't trying to get an extra line of credit. All this stuff, you know? And so all the lies I did started to come out, by the way, okay? So I met two friends I didn't know. Called Mr. Pastu and Mrs. Collection. Okay? Alright? I couldn't go to the mailbox before I got home. You know, my phone started ringing. And I had to come to her, I had to tell her the truth. You know? I mean, Chris Rock once said that he was so poor, when he died, he'd have to leave his kids a want. I didn't even have that. And I got out of debt. I did. You know why? I didn't have to buy dope anymore. I didn't have to buy liquor store. You know? I didn't have to do that. I got to actually spend money and keep money. You know, I did. And by the grace of God, I was able to do it. But I worked at it. I did. I worked at it. I went to meetings every day, sometimes two a day. I called my sponsor every day for the first 30 days. First of all, I was afraid of him. I was really afraid of this guy. I've been 12 years, man. I think if I was wrong, he would have shanked me. And I did. I did. I worked the program. You know, and so along my road to recovery, I got cancer, and I got cancer. You know, I get that phone call, the guy goes, "You're not driving, are you?" "Well, you might want to pull over." Okay, and he told me he had cancer, and said, "You got to come in." So, got cancer, and I didn't drink over it. I didn't drink of it. Because I'd just be a guy, I'd be a drunk guy with cancer. You know? I would, I flew to, so I went to this place called Cancer Treatment Centers of America. And I went to Philadelphia. My wife had just got transferred into a different department. She's an HR manager. And by the way, I'm not married to her anymore, so I wish her all the bad luck in her life. You know, so, hey, listen, I'm not mad. Don't get me wrong, okay? I mean, if she needed help, I'd call somebody for her. Okay? And I went to Cancer Treatment Center of America, and I remember sitting in that chemotherapy in that chair, just getting that poison put in me. And I really thought about my recovery. I had a couple years at the time, and I thought about all the poison I put in my vein. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hell, chemotherapy was a joy, yeah. And they were clean. The needles were clean. They weren't reusable. And but I survived it. I did. I survived it. I did, by the grace of God. Because you know why? She told me I was safe. And I survived it. And and then one day, I get a phone call, and we were living here in Gainesville, Georgia, and it was the Memphis Police Department saying that my daughter's in jail. Her bail is $100,000, and if you don't come down right away, the kids are going to go to DFACS. She had two children, Dylan and Andrew, and so I looked at my wife, and she said to me, she said, "What are you doing? Get on a plane." So though Dylan went with the grandfather, which was a big mistake. I didn't know he was on drugs. I'll tell you how that ended. And I took this little boy and back to Gainesville, Georgia. I had no birth certificate. I had nothing. Zero. And I remember the guy who, guy had like 30 years, his name is John. He said to me, "My wife works for the Board of Education. I'm going to take care of you." "So, you are?" I said, "Yeah." You know, because, you know, this is a we program. It's not an I program. Mm-hmm. We help each other. Okay? I don't help myself. I help you. My primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics achieve sobriety. That's what I do. When anyone anywhere reaches out for help, I want the hand aid to always be there for that. I'm responsible. So, I took Andrew, off we went. He was in school the next day. Second grade. You know, second grade. And he's still with me. Dylan got put in the system because they didn't get down there fast enough. And he was adopted by the best family in the world. I mean, this little boy couldn't talk, he couldn't walk, nothing. And now the kids run, drive, speak, karate, everything. So that was a blessing. Again, another God thing. But so this young man been with me, and I love to brag about him. He's a world champion karate. 2 years ago, he won the world champion. He's one of 6 kids in the United States that runs for this nonprofit called Running for Heroes. Last Wednesday, he was honored at the State House by the Lieutenant Governor, the Speaker of the House, and the Chairman with an award. So, you know, this is a good kid. He's a good kid. And people come up to me all the time, "Oh, you're such a good man. Look what you did for him." I said, "He did it to me. This kid gave me life. He gave me life after cancer. You know? I took this kid to, I bet he's been to 100 plus meetings. You know? Seriously. I'm not going to hide it from him. You know, his mother did. Why do I want to hide it from him? He knows I'm a drunk and an alcoholic, but he also knows that Pop's sober and clean. Because he's never seen him any other way. You know, by the grace of God. You know? Because I'm safe." And, so, my life has gone on. About 6 months ago, I came home, and we went out for dinner. She asked Andrew to go in the house. She looked at me, she said, "I'm done." "What are you done with?" She said, "I'm done with this." She said, "I'm going to divorce you." She said, "I'm 60 years old, I want to start living my life." I said, "Wow. You think you could have told me a year ago when I gave you a $10,000 diamond ring?" Or I said, "Or a $4,000 Burberry purse?" "Yeah, I know, exactly." So that's why she calls me, she can get Uber. And so she did. She saw me through my recovery. She saw me through my cancer and stuff. But, you know, life goes on. But I didn't drink over it. First thing I did is I called my sponsor, Frank, and I went to a meeting. Because I needed to be around people who were just like me. I needed to be around people that I can go up to and say, "My wife left me. Can I cry?" I needed that. I didn't need to go in there and say, "Geez, I really want to tell these people my story. They're going to look at me like I'm some kind of a jack-off, you know? Or you did what? How could you do that?" Well, I did it. I probably did it multiple times, too. You know? And, but I tell people, and I mean this, I'm living my best life. I've never had a better life in my entire life. I mean, I'm going to tell you the honest to God truth. I am totally debt free. I have a business. So I retired from the casino and I own a business today. You know, I'm very fortunate the last 5 years that I kept, you know, she didn't take the business. She gave it to me. But, you know, I didn't take her 401k. I should have. But I tell my story because my story is your story and your story is mine. You know? All of us probably had Stevie Wonder driving the bus, or Ray Charles, or somebody. Or I'll get a white guy, Roy Orbison. Roy Orbison driving the bus, you know? And it's just that, you know, I can wake up in my own bed. You know? I don't have people calling me anymore and telling me they're going to shut my phone off, my electricity, my everything, you know? I don't have that anymore. Am I making $175, $150, $200 a year? No. Am I making it in recovery? I'm making $1 million. Okay? Because I once told somebody, and they told me first, that I can't buy what I have. It's not for sale. It's free. I want you to remember that over there, okay? You can't buy recovery. You just got to take it. I don't need AA. AA doesn't need me. I need AA. You know? I need to be able to pick up that phone and say, "Where are you? Let me go get somebody else." Because you never answer a call in distress by yourself. Never, ever, ever, ever do that. Okay? And don't let anybody ever come up to you and tell you that you can sponsor your sister either. It doesn't work like that. Okay? Men sponsor men. Women sponsor women. It's just the way it is. That's just how it is. Because that's what Bill Wilson said. And guess what? His book sold for like $5 million about 2 years ago. and it's one of the largest publicized book in America. You know, rarely have we seen someone who fails to follow our simple path. You know, rule one, don't drink in between meetings. Rule two, don't drink in between meetings. Rule 10, don't drink in between meetings. Rule whatever, don't drink in between meetings. You know? Okay? And, you know, just be yourself. And that's what I am. I'm Rick. I'm Pop-Pop now, you know? I don't have to walk around and people call me Mr. Collins because I hate that. You know? I'm Rick, you know? I mean, I'm a drunk on the bus, man. I'm no different than anybody who's sitting in this room. Okay? Nobody. Because you know what? I came in at day one. Nobody enters the program on day 100. Okay? It doesn't work. This is not Amazon. You can't have Prime and become 30 years sober by 8 o'clock tomorrow morning if you pay the extra $6. It doesn't work like that. Okay? It's one day at a time. It's not the first 100 on the first day. It's one day at a time and a lot of 5 minutes at the time. You know? And recovery should be fun. We should be laughing. But we all should be caring and loving and respectful. You know? This is fun. This is the nicest. I'm telling you, son, my last rehab wasn't this nice, you know? Now, you got a kitchen. And you got a bathroom that are clean. My clubhouse doesn't have that. We got a sheet to handle. And you got a, hopefully, you're in the door, and you got your foot against the door so nobody walks in when you go in the bathroom. Wow, this is great. You're not drinking out of coffee mugs that haven't been washed in 100 years. I mean, I think Bill Wilson had some of these coffee mugs that we drink out of. You know? Yeah. But I tell you what, though. We do Christmas every Thanksgiving and Christmas, and we fed over 200 people. We sign papers every day. Every day. Now, the 8 o'clock is a totally different vibe, I was telling Kat. It's a totally different vibe at the 8 o'clock meeting, and they don't like to sign papers. Why? Why would you tell somebody who comes in this door who wants recovery? I don't care if he has a paper. I don't care if he's court-ordered. He's making that decision to walk through that door. He might be getting help, a little encouragement. But he's walking in the door and he's sitting down. You know? So why wouldn't you sign his paper? I was on the board. They don't like me on the board because I spoke my mouth. I did. I said, you guys are losing. You're losing what we're here to do. You're losing it. You know, we're here to help people who are suffering. You know? Like when I tell a sponsee and somebody says, hey, man, could you sponsor me? And I said, listen, here's what we're going to do about it. You're going to pray about it, and I'm going to pray about it. And if God thinks we're going to do, we're going to make it happen. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not your Uber driver. I'm not your ATM. I'm not your Kroger, Publix, Ingles, you know. I'm not your gas station attendant. I'm here to do three things with you. Give you my experience, strength, and hope. And all the way, take you through the 12 steps. And if you're not willing to do it, there's another guy that wants it. And I'm going to go to the guy that wants it. Because that's what it's all about, you know. And I tell them point blank, some of them look at me like I'm, you know. And I was telling her this story that I went to rehab at Christmas. And, man, it's a nice rehab. It's up in the mountains. And I'm just so honored that they let me come spend Christmas Day with them. I was so thankful that, because it was my first Christmas divorced, and Andrew was with his mom. And by the way, she's great, man. She's clean, she's sober, but she knows that Andrew's in the right place. And she came down for his award and everything, and she's got a really, she's a, listen, I have a master's degree, but I got a PhD in bullshit. I got a PhD in drinking, drugging, and running around, you know? But I went to a fine college, but you know what, though? It needs nothing when I walk through that door. It's just nothing but a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. Try to grab your ass with it on the way out, but you know? Mm-hmm. And so this girl comes up to me afterwards, and she's a little upset. She's shaking. I thought, oh, my God, what did I say to this girl that she didn't like, you know? And she said, so tonight they told me we had a speaker meeting. And I said, I don't want to go listen to some fucking guy, you know. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to curse. Yeah. And she said, I don't want, she said, because they said, you got to listen to this guy. He's really funny. So she said she stayed. And then you get up there and you're looking, I think you're looking at me, and you say that I'm going to tell somebody's story tonight. And I said, I'm going, this guy's full of shit. I'm out of here. Guy's from Jersey, he's talking with his hands, and he's going to tell me, he doesn't know me. How did you know me? And she looked at me afterwards, she says, you know, you told my story tonight. And I never stayed in a rehab longer than a couple of days, but I'm going to stay for this one. Because I heard my story tonight. I heard my story. And I'm going to stay. She said, I just never did it, and I'm going to do it tonight. And I don't really hug other women. I just, you know, I did. But I don't really do it, you know. But I hugged her because she needed a hug, you know. And because, you know, when you're at rehab, you know, there's a lot of things you can or can't do. You know, people want my phone number. You know, I'm trying to get girls to take my number now. I'm trying to give it away. But, you know, so, but it was okay. And I did talk to the people afterwards. And I said, those girls stopped me. And they said, oh, great. You know, she never stays. And she stayed. Because I went back at New Year's and she was still there. And it meant so much to me. That, first of all, people listen. It meant so much to me that I was able to share my strength and hope with her. You know, because that's just all I'm here for. I really am. I'm not. I don't get paid. In fact, I pay AA. I would give AA all my money. I would give my. If somebody came up to me and said, either you're going to start drinking tomorrow, or you're going to get me $1,000. I said, well, can I sell it to you? PayPal, because I'm living my best life. Look at me. Look, it's 10 of 9. We're all sober. We're all clean. We probably all have gas in our cars. We have a full belly. You know, think about it. And I'm going to go to bed tonight. I had this wonderful young lady who is just unbelievable. You know, this girl has been in the Al-Anon program a very long time. But the most important thing, this girl saves babies. She works in a NICU. She keeps little babies breathing. Hell. My recovery is nowhere. I'm not saving any life. I'm saving my life, which is good. But she's saving not one. Yeah, I just had triplets. I don't know you're pregnant. we just delivered triplets. I gotta go back to yours, my sixth time tonight. You know, I mean, that's amazing. And she's doing it sober. You know? And so are we. Think about it. You know? What did I do today? I said to myself, what am I gonna do today to put my head in the bed sober? You know? And tonight I came to a meeting. I wouldn't want to be any place else tonight. I really mean that from the bottom of my heart. I mean, you know, the chairman of the board of the casino, the head man, once told me, he said, man, I bet you never met a microphone you didn't like. You know, and I just tell you how it is. And just remember one thing. If you just remember anything tonight, you're safe. I promise you. Because, you know, I'm going to leave here tonight, and we probably won't even talk about it on the way home. You know, but I'll never tell anybody who I saw, what I said, who I'm with, and what you said, because that's what it's all about. You know, this is an anonymous program, you know, with stays here, says here, stays here, hear her, you know? And that's the way it is, you know? I don't walk in Walmart and say, hey, Betty, I missed you at the A meeting last week. You just don't do it. You don't do it. You don't do it, you know? You don't do it. It isn't right, you know. So, if anybody wants to ask me a question, it's up to you. If not, I'll just go down and shut up and sit on my hands. Anybody got anything want to say, hear, say, no? And you guy, got a question?
know, I think for me the biggest thing is sitting with craving, right? So once you feel it,
mm-hmm. change your mind. Think of something else.
On it, right?
Like, yeah, don't. Yeah.
It's like different meditation, right?
They yep.
Different things where you just sit in it and you wait for it to pass, like the emotion just passes.
Yeah.
But how the hell can I not, right? So I'm curious how you got to the point where you were able to sit in it. I know eventually the brain gets to the point where there's enough repetition of refusal that gets used to it and eventually stops craving.
Never. Never. If anybody tells you that they're cured, they are full of shit. Okay? I am going to die a drug addict and alcoholic, but I'm going to die a sober man, God willing. And how I do it, if I had to, I get up and I go to the bathroom to change my chain of thought. I reach out, I pick up my phone up, and I start calling people. You know, I call people. I turn on stuff that I get that. And if you don't think after 12 years that I don't want to sit there sometimes and have a cold beer or something, they're lying to you. I'm telling you something. It just hurts me like there's no tomorrow. I want to go up and choke somebody when they say that they are a recovered alcoholic. No. No, then you never were one. Because if you are one, you're never going to recover. You know, I'm not going to become a sober overnight. Okay, it's a marathon. It's not a race. My sobriety stops the day I die. Okay, I just hope by the grace of God that I put my head in the bed for the last time, sober and clean. And it looks really good tonight that I'm going to wake up tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm going to work. I'm going to call some people. I'm going to reach out, you know, and because that's what it's all about. Don't ever leave anything in this room. If you take it outside that door, it manifests. It blows the blank up. And when it blows up, it kills people. And it's usually not you. Because I killed a lot of people, you know. I did. I killed a lot of people in my recovery. I hurt a lot of people. I'll leave you one last thought. My kid was in the World Series for the Philadelphia Phillies in 2 seasons. How many games do you think I went to? Zero. Every day he would call me and tell me, Dad, I got a ticket for you for the game tonight, and I never went. 5 years ago, he came to my house and gave me his World Series. He said, you get this ring. That's what recovery did to me, and this is what it gave me. So, give yourself a hand.
First I slip, and then I quit. To a hope-filled dream. You rescue me, and finally, wake in there I look into love's window for a soul that's meant for me. Takes me where the promise is all real. Sometimes quickly, sometimes slow, we get just what we need. On a broad highway, God walks us, we walk eternally. Look into love's window for a heart. Promises are real, and I always love you. Take me where the promise is.